Thanks, Brother Ivan. I hope you can hear me.
I
did have many problems with Heckman White Fraternal yesterday, but hopefully they've been resolved. That was just a small minor problem yesterday, but as being mentioned in prayer, there's a lot of troubles and problems around the world, and we can see it building up to true perplexity when man will just not know what to do. And that gives us hope, for the Lord Jesus is not far behind that situation. But thinking of the scriptures, it is, in many ways, to me, a superb textbook that warns against living lives involving lust and desire and pride, and particularly today, the love of money. They are all bringing troubles and problems wherever these reign, rather than the fruit of the Spirit, as it were. But for us, although we may have problems and troubles in our lives, we pray that because we have sought to ally ourselves with the Lord God, that these troubles and problems are of use to us. We know following Scripture's advice doesn't always eliminate the problems in our lives and the troubles. The Lord Jesus is a prime example of that, isn't he? And he followed his Father's ways completely. So what about these problems and troubles that we have in our lives? Why should we have them? Well, I'd like you to first look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 as an introduction, really, to what I have to say. And one or two verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a time when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt in the same way that we, in a way, being baptized, have left our Egypt, left the world and its ways, and sought the ways of the Lord our God. So verse 1, and all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Echoes back to Genesis there, isn't it? It was there from the beginning. Obey the Lord our God, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not. And then on to verse 10. Because throughout scriptures, to obey the Lord our God brings blessings, although it might not seem like it at the time. But there's a warning, there's a danger, that if our lives are too well blessed, as it were, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and we are certainly well blessed, aren't we, in this country, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We are no different to those children of Israel of old. And they were tested and proved so that the Lord would know what was in their heart. And I think that's the same with us today. But we're not just tested and proved haphazardly. There is always a purpose with the Lord God in our lives, directing us to do what is right in his sight. But sometimes it doesn't quite work out like that for us, because we, for whatever reason, have a problem or a trouble in life. The scripture calls it tribulation. That's the main word that is used, tribulation. And so I'd just like to have a look at three examples, because there are positives in tribulation, although we might not think it at the time. So the first one is from Acts chapter 14 and at verse 22. So Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, it says there, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, much testing, enter into the kingdom of God. Because we are being tested to see whether we are the right material for God's kingdom. Now, I come from an engineering background, and there's parts were designed and made and manufactured. And what we used to do was test them, but not to destruction. They were called non-destructive testing, and that's to verify that the design and the materials are suitable for the purpose that they were intended for. And I think that's like us. The Lord God is testing us non-destructively, because he says there will be a way out at some stage. You see, the Lord God's intended that the earth would have a population that is fit to live forever. The eternal kingdom, God's kingdom. And so it seems reasonable that the Lord God is testing those people that will live at that time. You can't imagine eternal life being given to a lot of the world today with the evil that is there and the mischief that they cause. So God's children have to be the right material and have been subject to a non-destructive test to see whether they are fit for purpose. I suppose tribulation due to our own stupidity, we can learn from it, can't we? Even if it's a case of, well, I'm not going to say that again, or I'm not going to do that again, you know, we've learned from it. The Apostle Peter learned, didn't he, when he said he wouldn't deny his Lord. But he did. But he did learn from it, because the Lord Jesus questioned him afterwards, didn't he? Do you love me, Peter? And he got quite upset that he was asked three times. But Jesus says to him, when you are strengthened, he would be stronger from his experience of denying his Lord. And he would go on and be a true disciple and apostle to spread the word, to spread the gospel, to speak about the Lord God and his Son. So tribulation is a test for the kingdom. And that's surely a positive, because we're going to end up in the kingdom. But during your problems or troubles, call them what you will, like taking us out of our comfort zone in many ways, but if you're like me, you will want them to pass as quickly as possible. But that's not always a good thing. Sometimes these things have to pan out in time for us to truly be educated in God's way. But there's a degree of patience that is needed. Brother said to me, as I grow older, I get more impatient. And I think Irene might nod to that as well. We do, as you get older, seem to lose a bit of patience. But let's think about patience in tribulation. Romans chapter 5 and at verse 3, where we have there, we glory in tribulations also. Do we? Do we glory when we're having problems and troubles? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We have to be patient. We have to develop patience. We have to develop patience. And it's of great value. you know, if you're not feeling well or you've got troubles that consume your mind, and someone comes along and asks you for a bit of help, you know, it's a natural reaction to say, oh, don't bother me now, I've got enough troubles of my own. I'll see to you when I've seen to my own. And we're rather short with them. Now, I can't imagine that the Lord God would say that to us as we approach him in our problems and in our troubles. You know, thinking what the Lord God has got in his hands at the moment, he's shaping the world to bring it right for the return of our Lord Jesus. He deals with our problems, no matter what the problems he has of his own. You see, the objective is, really, that the Lord Jesus will return and begin that process to set up God's kingdom. And at times we have our own problems and we ask him for help. We ask him for help. And I suppose our problems can be put in perspective by thinking about what is to come, in other words, the kingdom. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 puts it this way: run with patience the race that is set before us, hopefully to endure, to overcome, to be patient. The Apostle Peter was not always patient, was he? I'm sure he was a lot more patient as he lived towards the end of his life than at the beginning. But patience, we can do a lot more and be a lot more beneficial to our brethren and sisters if we are patient and listen to them. And the third example comes from the second letter to the Corinthians at chapter 1. Chapter 1 and at verse 4. Speaking of the fact that we do have comfort from the Lord our God. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's an advantage, you see. It's an advantage. By the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God. So we are comforted of God, learn the lesson from God, and comfort others. There's a perhaps passing through a similar trouble or a problem that we ourselves are. Looking round and keeping our ears to the ground to try and comfort someone who is having problems. Because we've gone through the same experience. We know what it's like. And there's a little quote in Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 18 about Jesus. As suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor. He is able to give aid, relief, help to those in a similar situation. So we're following the Lord Jesus as well, looking after others that are going through troubles, particularly the troubles that we have come through. We're able to be supported of them. So the positives of tribulation are entering the kingdom with patience and being comforted by our God in our troubles, so that we in turn are in a good position to comfort others in their troubles. So there's three good positives there, isn't there? And they're certainly needed in the world today. But to enter into the kingdom reminds us that there is a book of life. Revelation 20 and at verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we've been guided to have our names in the book of life. Now, I'm not too sure if you think about the book of life, what you envisage it to be. Whether it's a book with plenty of words in it against our names, or perhaps, do we need a lot of words at the side of our names? Because the Lord knows what we have been through, he's guiding us through them to make us fit for purpose for his kingdom. And so perhaps there is just one word, really, that's in the book of life for us. Or two words, in my case, John Murgatroyd. It's a bit like the war memorials that we see in the centre of villages And it usually says something like, these have given their life for king and country. And all there is a list of names. But that introduction says it all, doesn't it? They have given their life for king and country. And we are encouraged to give our life, figuratively speaking, to our king, to our Jesus, and our country, which at the moment we might classify it as the Commonwealth of Israel. But hopefully it will be God's eternal kingdom. And we've only to think of Hebrews chapter 11, haven't we? We don't need to know what they did or didn't. They are in that chapter of faith, and so there is just perhaps one word at the side of their names. Faithful. And that would do for me. Faithful, certainly. So thinking of the kingdom, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's what we're doing through our troubles. It's part of the vision that we have. Revelation 19 and verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So I suppose the point is, have we, as the bride of Christ, made ourselves ready by improving as we go along through our troubles and problems, to be tested like the children of Israel were tested in the wilderness, so that the Lord would know what is in our hearts. And sticking with Revelation for a moment, a few verses there from chapter 7 we can look at. Revelation chapter 7. Thinking of entrance into the kingdom, isn't it? Verse 9. And after this I beheld as though a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then jumping a few verses to verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which have arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which have come out of great tribulation, great testing, great problems in their lives, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, if you think back over your life, when you were having good times, how much did you learn about the Lord God? But when you're having troubles and problems in your life, whatever it is, we usually end up being the stronger. I've known people that have had a leg off due to their own fault, I should imagine, in one way, but saying after they had the leg off that their faith was much stronger. And it's cropped up once or twice on the TV news of people through great difficulties, particular health. They have said that it's been a good experience for them because they are now a much stronger person. That is how we learn, through our troubles in life, making our robes white in the blood of the Lamb, because when submitting ourselves to the Lord our God, to the Lord our God. But that great tribulation, just like to deflect it from ourselves for the moment as we're approaching the emblems, that great tribulation, we have come out of it because the Lord Jesus had great tribulation, didn't he? He said in John chapter 12 and at verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Yes, he didn't want to face it. He knew it would be painful and degrading. And he would have wished for another way out, if it were possible. And I suppose that's a bit like us in our troubles. We don't really want to face them, do we? if it's going to be tortuous and things like that. We'd much rather find another way out. But there often isn't. But the Lord gives strength to us like he gave it to his son. Hebrews chapter 5 and a couple of verses there, 7 and 8, you know them very well. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Through our troubles we learn truly to fear the Lord our God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So that's another positive in our troubles and problems and tribulation. We are learning obedience. And the Lord God will only have those in the kingdom that have been obedient. Verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, we have come out of great tribulation to try and wash our robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And so just think about the Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 22 as he approaches his final few hours. And in Luke chapter 22 and at verse 42 it says there, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And I suppose that's like us in our troubles, isn't it? Please remove this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Not our will, not the will of the Lord Jesus, but God's will be done in our lives. It was said truly with feeling, because it was with strong crying and tears. So much so that the next verse, verse 43 of Luke 22 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And you would think he would receive that strength and do what he had to do. But the next verse tells us he was still in agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Yes, we have truly come out of that great tribulation to have a hope for the future, a hope of living in the eternal kingdom of our God. The Lord Jesus was well and truly put to the test and came through it with the help of that angel that gave him strength. And we have that same kind of help for us in our troubles and tribulations. Through prayer. Through prayer. And I think that the Lord Jesus, through his ministry, gained and became stronger to deal with that final test to whether he would obey the Lord God his Father and submit himself. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, words that we know well, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, not in other things, things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, to make reconciliation for us. Well, Hebrews 4, verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but who is in all points tempted like as we are. The difference being, we did not sin. So the positives there, again, is that we have a high priest that knows what it is like, can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to grow and develop and face problems through life. Perhaps the problems he faced at the end of his life, he wouldn't have been able to do it at the beginning of his ministry. See, Luke reminds us that the child, the Lord Jesus, waxed strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That was as a child. The Lord God was well pleased with him, didn't he? Said so at the Mount of Transfiguration. So just like the Lord Jesus, growing in spirit and wisdom, we do through our problems and troubles. And I suppose really, all things have been done for us so that we can continue to grow in patience and being able to comfort one another and to give God the glory until the day it is said of us, it is finished. So finish with the words of Scripture from Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labours, they may have rest from their testing times, and their works do follow them. Thank you.
Thank you for that, and for bringing us nicely to the emblems.